open your Bibles up to John chapter 15. While you're finding that, I'll tell you what we're doing. This is, we've got the space shuttle up there. Unfortunately, those aren't really flying anymore, but space shuttle up there. Prepare for launch. We're going to do a series over the next 6 weeks called Prepare for Launch. And I thought, if I had six bullets to shoot to help us as a church be prepared to engage with Spokane in a healthy way and grow together in a healthy way, what six bullets would we shoot? What would we put in our six shooter? Hollow points, apparently. Oh, holy points. So these are holy point bullets. Great. That goes right in there with the Clackamas Cowboy we heard about earlier. If you're listening to this online, I apologize. That was a private joke. So, the context of this, John chapter 15, I feel like this is such an important foundational concept for us to get. Jesus is about to be crucified. It's the night before his crucifixion. He knows the time has come. And he's sitting down with his disciples, and he's having a meal with them. It's Passover time. They're just spending time together, and Jesus is teaching his disciples. He has really important things to say about unity, how he's praying for them, that they would be one with each other. He has some really key things that he says in this. But really what's happening is he's preparing his church for launch. Because he knows he's returning to the Father. He's returning to the right hand of the Father. And he's getting ready to leave the church in the hands of these guys. Now, not abandoning them, because he promised, I'm going to send my Spirit. I'm going to be with you always. But they're going to have to learn how to do things in a different way. Because they're not going to be just like, hey, Jesus is right here. Jesus, there's this sick guy over here, and can you take care of this? You know, or Jesus, what do we do? He's not physically going to be right there. They have to learn to do what Jesus did in his earthly ministry, which was spend a lot of time with the Father. What made Jesus' ministry work was he spent time with his Father. Now, he was anointed with the Spirit of God. That helps a lot. He would just hang out, though. Sometimes he would spend all night hanging out with his Father. And he's talking to his disciples. I was amazed reading through this week how chapter after chapter in here, he keeps coming back to prayer. He keeps coming back to, what does it look like to hang out with God? How do you pray? And he says this in John 15, 7 and 8. I'm reading from the English Standard Version again. Very simple. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. I could go on and on and on with this. I'm going to focus in on just on these two verses for a little bit. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. What? Are you kidding me? Whatever you wish? This starts to sound like TV Christianity really fast. Like, wait. Hold on. It sounds like big giant rings and glitzy gold chairs and... Is this where we're going, John? Because if this is where we're going, I'm done. Right? No. But Jesus, just remember, I'm not coming up with this, okay? This is Jesus talking. If you don't like the words. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. If. This is a really big if. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. And God's going to be, he says, the Father is going to be glorified because you're going to bear a lot of fruit. And the world is going to see, oh, they actually are Jesus' disciples. They're doing the same things Jesus did. Abiding is one of the most vital components to a healthy and effective church life. If we as a church are going to do anything lasting, if we're going to do anything besides just hang out and be friends, which is great, I love that. Daniel and I were hanging out playing tennis this week. And what was it? 3 or 4 years since you'd played? At least 2 years since I had played. And we're kind of relearning how to use the rackets. And but we're just hanging out. We're having a good time. It was fun. And you know what I'm going to remember the most about that day? Was when we were done and we were standing out in the parking lot and just laid hands on each other and prayed for each other. It's like, whoa, that was cool. That was really fun. If we're going to do anything as a church that lasts, there's something about abiding in Christ and having Christ as the center of everything that we're doing that we cannot afford to miss. Or what happens very quickly is church life turns into an institutional meeting life or an institutional requirement list. And it's dead. It's empty. It's hollow. It's not what God has in mind at all for us. Abiding. This is probably not new for some of you. Abiding is what a branch does when it's connected to a vine or connected to a tree. When a branch is connected up to its life source, its source of nourishment, its source of nutrients, leaves will grow on that branch. Fruit will grow. I went out to my garden this morning, and I pulled out something I thought you guys would really like to see. What? We grow Starbucks. We grow Starbucks coffee. I want you to see this, because this is fresh from my garden this morning. And you might not be able to see it super well. I got this out of the garden, brand new, today. There's only one problem with this portion of my garden. Apparently, it got disconnected from its vine a few days ago. And it was actually laying really close, and it looked kind of like it was connected to the vine. But there's nothing happening in here except death. And it's drying up. The leaves are withered on it. I don't know how well you can see this. There's no fruit on this branch. This is supposed to be a tomato plant. And there's nothing on it. You can just pass that around, get a good look at it, at the quality of life right there. Yeah, shouldn't this be green? It's brown. It's withered. Something has happened here. Abiding has ceased. Now, this also came out of my garden this morning. Oops, they fell off. There's so much fruit on this thing, it's falling off. There's still 2 on here. There were 4 on here. Oh. Fruit is falling. 1, 2, 3. Okay, there's still 1 on here. The fruit is just... Yeah, the fruit's coming off. Let's look at the size of this branch. It's like the same size of that other one. Tiny little branch. All of this is coming off of this one little branch. Isn't that cool? I mean, if you put this on the scale and checked out, you know, what's the mass of this little branch? And then what's the mass of these tomatoes? This is great fruit for a little tiny branch. All over my tomato plants, plural. We did like 4 of them this year. 6? It was 6 of them? We have boatloads of these little Roman tomatoes everywhere. So this is what happens with abiding. When you abide in Christ, great fruit. He says, God is honored. The Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. That doesn't mean you prove to God. But everyone else around you says, wow, you're like living proof that you're a disciple of Jesus. Look at you. Now, I'll put these down here. Whoops. Oh, there went the other one. can't really pass around all of that. Here you go. You can look at the end. Well, that's what a healthy branch should look like. Just came off today. The basis for asking whatever we wish is abiding. And what that looks like is this. It looks like currently being with Jesus through prayer and worship. Being a people that love to hang out with Jesus. And even in busy times. I mean, does anybody not have a busy life going on? Does anyone not have pressures and demands on your time? Anybody? Yeah. We all have stuff. Yeah. Brent. Brent's got nothing going on in life right now. Nothing. Student teaching, new dad, working a job, same time. Got nothing going on. Does anybody not have pressures of life? No, but in the middle of those pressures, God is calling us to come to Him and abide. Come to Him, which is where we're going to find the nourishment we need to bear fruit in the middle of those pressures. The Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. We could just stop right there. You can have love for others. You can have joy. Like, you can enjoy life in the middle of pressure. What? You can have peace when everything around you is chaotic. What? And then it goes on, patience. Are you kidding me? Patience. This is fruit of being with Jesus. It's fruit of spending time with Jesus. Wow. So being with Jesus, spending time directly with Him, not just talking about Him, but engaging with Him. We need this. Also, continually soaking His words into our life. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So it's like drawing the nourishment off of the vine right into your life. That little tomato branch is drawing its nourishment off of the main stem that goes down into the ground. And all it had to do was sit there and draw nourishment. Just draw nourishment from that vine. He says, I want my words to abide in you. I want my truth to abide in you. I want my promises to be ringing in your ears. And apart from this, apart from abiding in Him, John 15:5, He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Guys, apart from Him as a church, we can't do anything. But when we abide in Him, you go from you can do nothing to asking anything. What a huge shift. You can do nothing, ask me anything. I love that. That is like such a radical contrast. You can do nothing, ask me anything. That's what we're going to do tonight. When we get together to pray, we're going to ask big things. Now, there's three things that happen when we're abiding in Jesus. They'll come up on the screen here. The most important thing, you abide in Jesus. When we abide in Jesus, we become more like Jesus. Hey, what did we just say? Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goes on, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These all just, they point to Jesus. This is an image of Jesus. This is who He is. This is what He's like. It says in the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of abiding in Him is these things. We become more like Jesus. We could stop right there. I get to be more like Jesus. We can pray prayers that say, oh God, make me more like you. Make me more like you. I want to be more like you. Or, I'm not saying don't pray that. It's a great prayer. Jesus, I want to be like you. But we actually get to come to Him and spend time with Him, and that's fruit. Being more like Him is fruit of being with Him. we begin to resound, guys, with what God's heartbeat is. I wrote it in my notes. We begin to resound with his heartbeat for people and for the Father's glory. See, God, I want my life to bring you glory. God, I want the life of our church together to bring you glory. That people are saved. People are set free from oppression, from old bondages that have just kept them bound for years. God, we want to see you get glory. Now, you can say that because you're hanging out with Jesus. And it's true. You know, we could pray a prayer that means nothing. But when you spend time with Jesus, you go, wow, Jesus, you're amazing. I want to see your glory. I want to see your Father glorified. So we become more like Jesus. That's pretty good. Secondly, when we spend time with Jesus, his words are infused into us. I rarely spend time in prayer without my Bible. There's kind of a modern movement. We call them the modern mystics, Christian mystics. But I will unashamedly say I'm really not that into. I don't like Holy Spirit activity that isn't rooted into Scripture, because we can, as people, get so flaky so fast, and we turn something that God did in somebody's life into, now this is this is what has to happen every time. And pretty soon we're chasing angels. And what a funky, that'd be a cool band name, wouldn't it? Chasing Angels. Just wouldn't be a great Christian band. But that was an aside. That was extra bonus. I just got distracted in my own head. I'm like, Chasing Angels. But when his words abide in us, This is his instruction. His commandments. He says things to us like, love one another. Be reconciled to one another. Get along with one another. He says things like this. And they're not just suggestions from Jesus. They're actually God's instruction into our lives. They're God's commandment into our lives. Now, I'm not saying, hey, you guys, you need to follow this commandment better so you can go to heaven. That's not what I'm saying. This is a discipleship issue. Understand, there's a huge difference between salvation and discipleship. If I want to be a disciple of Jesus, it means I say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to imitate you. I want to live life the way you're asking me to live my life. Not earning heaven, not earning stuff, but submitting your life. Now, how does this happen? Abiding. I could tell you any giant list of commandments. There's loads of them. We could skip the whole Old Testament and just go to what Jesus said. There's loads of them. And you couldn't do any of them. Not consistently. You could pull it off for a day or two. You could do okay. You'd probably wear down. But when you abide in Christ and his words abide in you, you find yourself fulfilling his commands. You find yourself walking like Jesus walked. You find yourself like your heart is beating like Jesus' heartbeats. And you see people on the street, and it's not just, man, they really need Jesus because they're really bad. Jesus, you love these people. You find your heart beating for people when his words become infused into you. And what happens? Your desires, my desires, and our ways of thinking begin to reflect his when his words are abiding in us. We need this. We need this. And thirdly, it's the third thing that happens when we're abiding in Christ. Faith is stirred. Hey, when we spend time with God, faith builds in our hearts, and his power becomes exalted over our circumstance. The way God's saying this is, you're going to bear great fruit. You are going to bear big fruit. People are going to notice there's something different in your life. What's happening? God's words, you're actually beginning to believe them. you begin to believe that you are who God says you are. You begin to believe you can do what God says you can do in Him. You know, He commissioned us in Matthew 28 to go into the world. We're going to go to all nations. And you think, gosh, I have a hard time getting the bus across town. You know, you're telling me to go to all nations? You're telling me to the world? The world? Are you kidding me? But when you begin to hang out with Jesus, you spend time with Jesus, like, wait a minute. Jesus, you're the one calling me to go. And you said, you'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. That means we're going. We're going to nations. We're going to cities. We're going to neighborhoods. We're going across the street to that really awkward neighbor. We're going. Not just you. You and Jesus are going. Hey, maybe you can't do anything apart from Him, but you don't have to, because He's going to go with you. He's going with you. When Brent goes into student teach every single day, he walks into that classroom, walks into that school building. Jesus is going with him. So you've got this super anointed, full of the Spirit, Jesus-loving student teacher mingling with Spokane kids. Hey, guess what that means? There's hope for public school. Because God's commissioning people and sending people in. Wherever you go, He's going with you. Now, as I'm saying this, probably for some of you, start thinking, oh yeah, oh yeah, God goes with me. Faith is stirring even right now in the room as we talk about it. Faith stirs in me as I'm talking about this stuff. And then what happens? When faith happens in our hearts, we can act. Jesus says, if it doesn't come from faith, whatever's not of faith is sin. What? Get out there and witness. Get out there and evangelize. Get out there and save Spokane. You know? Yeah. Crack the whip. Browbeat. But if it doesn't happen in your hearts from faith, God says it's sin. What? I'm evangelizing in sin? Yep. And what that means is it misses the mark. It completely misses the mark. God wants a people full of faith out representing Him as He really is. So we need to hang out with Jesus. We need to get Him into us as if He's not into us. But His words in us. His truth in us. I don't know what this means. I'm talking. Yeah, there you go. It's bubbling up from out. There you go. When we act in faith, guys, we get to partner in the very purposes of God. This is a huge privilege. We get to partner in God's purpose in the earth. He could have, Sandy and I were joking about it today. I think a little bit yesterday, too. Like, yeah, we're going to baptize you. We could just hold you down, and we'll just send you right on to heaven. You know, we'll just hold you down until you stop breathing. And boom, it's like, well, I'm identifying with Christ and I'm face to face with Christ. Hey, I'm here, I'm home, I'm here. No, why not? Because He has us on the planet specifically to partner with His purpose to seek and save the lost. He loves Spokane. He loves the families of Spokane. He loves the families out into the valley and out into Cheney and Airway Heights and beyond, north, south, east, west. God passionately loves people. He passionately loves nations. And we get to partner with His purpose. But it all comes down to abiding in Him. When we stop abiding, I don't know where that dead branch ended up. I might have just pitched it. Donald has it in the back. This little withered up brown thing. When we stop abiding, it's like our strength starts to look like that. Do we cease to be Christians? Do we cease to be saved? No, of course not. But our strength and our faith starts to look like this dead, withered thing, and it's just, it's empty because there's no infusion of Christ into our lives. He wants to continue to infuse us. So what is the point of this? I always write it in my notes at the end before I make the main points. I always write consequence. What is the consequence? What is the point? I'm going to back up one chapter, John 14, 12 through 14. It's sort of some of the same thing. It's Jesus again. It's actually the same conversation, his same teaching. He says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Isn't that cool? If you believe in me, says Jesus, you're going to do the same things I do. It's not just this theoretical head game. You know, great, I'm looking at you guys. Michelle and Eric just coming out of Whitworth University. And you know, man, if you've been hanging out in university land, it can so quickly become like this big. Everything's a head game. And everything is, people love, like there's philosophy majors that just hang out in university campuses. Experience this, and people want to talk concepts, and they want to talk theories, and a lot of times these same people don't actually want to put feet in it. Just let's just talk about the world and how it could be better. Let's talk about how things should be. Jesus says, "Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do." Not just going to have the same theology that I have. Going to do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do. And he brings it back to this. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So the context, guys, of whatever you ask in my name, I will do. It's always important to root these scriptural promises, root them into context. Context, depending on what, you know, where did you learn to preach, or where did you learn to teach? Where did you, whatever. It doesn't matter if it's learning to preach in a church or teach in a classroom. Context is everything. Context is everything. Before Jesus says, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do," he says, "Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do." The context of asking God for really big things in prayer, or really specific things in prayer, is the context of being about our Father's business. You want to ask God for his promise to bear fruit into your life. We want to ask God to make us effective into Spokane. The context of that is we are about our Father's business. We are doing the works that he did, and we're putting our hands to what he called us to do. The works that we do are the fruit. It's the fruit we bear born out of relationship with Jesus. Now, what's really exciting to me is, and I've been talking with people, we're going to start putting feet to things that we've talked about for quite a while. For the next 6 weeks or so, we're going to kind of have one home group that we'll get together and we'll hang out in the living room. But at the end of that 6 weeks, something pretty exciting is going to happen. With discussion, with apostolic oversight, other pastors and leaders around the Northwest, just going, "Hey guys, where are we at? What do you guys see? How are we doing as a church? You know, we're still small. Should we hold off on things before we go, you know, bust things open a bit?" And the joint consensus from everyone is no. It's go time. It's go time. It's time to launch. It's time. It's time for Grace Church Spokane to be on the scene. Very public. I mean, yeah, our sign's out. Yeah, we have a website. But we're going to do our grand opening. Here we are, Spokane. Come find us. come hang out. We're ready to go. And my notes say this, GCS Grand Opening Official Launch, October 27th, 2013, which is the big announcement that I tweeted. That it's grand opening time. It's full-on go time with the church. And then I realized that the very church that sent us here wants to have people here. But Lee Arbrough is with us on the 20th, and then he's with them on the 27th. And they're not going to be able to send anybody over here on the 27th. So we may push that back one Sunday into the first Sunday in November. But I'm going to talk with those guys in Missoula, see how they feel about that. If they're okay, I really want to do it on the 27th. But I'm also a submitted man. So I will get some other input. So that's what we're thinking. We're going to go big on this. We're going to have invites that you can give to people, friends, coworkers, awkward neighbors, whatever that may be. We want everybody to feel free and welcome and invited to come. Loads of people say they've never gone to a church simply because no one's ever asked them to come. And an invitation is a very, very powerful thing. So we're going to pray, Jesus, build your church, which he's actually promised to do. I will build my church, says Jesus, and the very gates of hell can't stop it. So he's doing it. He's going to do it. He's already been doing it since before any of us were born. This is what he does. If we're going to say, Jesus, use us, build this church, build us as Grace Church Spokane, build us, then that prayer, that petition is in the context of saying, okay, Jesus was also the friend of sinners, and Jesus went out into the villages, and he sent people out of ahead of him saying, hey, get ready, Jesus is coming. So our job is to say, hey, guys, hey, friends, hey, family, hey, coworkers, get ready because Jesus is coming. Jesus, now I'm not talking about the rapture or anything ethereal. I'm saying, guys, Jesus is doing stuff in Spokane. Get ready. And come on. So, can we do this ourselves? Nope. Can we have an amazing, healthy, functioning church in Spokane by ourselves? Nope. Even if we had the most gifted, amazing leadership team in the world, could we do it by ourselves? Maybe for a while. We could have something that at least looks good. Problem is you got me. So can we do it on ourselves? Nope. We are dependent on Jesus. You know what? I don't want it any other way. I'll just tell you, I'm not running myself down. I know where I'm gifted. I know where I'm weak. I'm an okay leader. I'm not a bad leader. They wouldn't have sent me over here and said, hey, we're commissioning you to go out and plant a church. I know how to do some things. But, sweet. That's helpful. So we can have TV ministry really fast, then, is what you're saying. So is that going to get us anywhere? Not really. But why would we want it any other way? If we could build this and do it ourselves, then we could crumble it and destroy it in a moment ourselves too. But if Jesus is building his church, then even when we fall short and we come to the end of ourselves and we go, I don't know what to do. What do I do, Jesus? He's like, I got this. I'm building my church. And if you feel like all of hell is standing up and opposing you as you're trying to move forward, the gates of hell cannot prevail. You know how I remember that? I come and hang out with Jesus, and I just remind him of that. Thank you, Jesus. The very gates of hell can't stop your purpose, can't stop your plan in the earth, can't stop your plan in Spokane, can't stop your plan in my life. All of hell cannot stand against your purpose. Yes. I love the sovereignty of God. That he really is a sovereign God. He's going to do what he's going to do, and he's called us to purpose with to partner in his purpose. So when we ask for his enablement to establish a church, to serve and minister to others for the glory of the Father, we can expect to see God glorifying results. You can expect it. When we come and we say, God, help us be a church that serves Spokane, that serves people, that ministers to people, and glorifies you. That's a prayer that God can easily honor because it resounds with his heartbeat. And when our prayer and our purpose line up with God's purpose, we will see great things happen. I wrote this in my notes. We will see salvation. We will see healing of bodies, of minds, of relationships. We'll see miraculous things. We'll see effective preaching. We'll see effective declaration, not just up here, you know, standing behind a music stand, but throughout the week, we'll see effective declaration of the gospel from us. We'll see this. We'll see effective prophetic mobilization of people coming together. What is God saying? And we unify around that. We'll see it. We'll see kingdom extension. I said this the very first time I sat down with, it was just a handful of us in my living room, and I said, this is going to be a church planting church that is committed to planting out multiple locations in Spokane, multiple cities around the Northwest, committed to be involved in nations around the world. We're going to do that. And I continue to trumpet that and say that prophetically. This is what this church is going to be about. We're going to do it. We can't do it ourselves. The only way we do it is abiding in Christ. This excites me. Jesus is building his church. And we have the honor of praying and partnering with him to see his purpose advanced. That's cool. That is a huge honor. That is a commission from the King of Kings. He's commissioned your life. He's commissioned you to represent him in Spokane. Whether that's student teaching in a school, Becca's sitting here and she's a music teacher in a school. You know, wherever it is that we go, we carry this commission from the King to represent him, to partner with him, ambassadors for him. So when we gather tonight, we're coming with that in mind to hang out with Jesus. We'll start with worship, healthy prayer. Really great prayer always starts with God, who God is, what he's all about, his majesty. A song like Our God we sang there at the end of the worship time. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. You go, oh yeah! We're hanging out with him, his word. We're actually getting it into our hearts by singing it out of our mouths. You know, it's like, yes, this is true. So why wouldn't we pray great big prayers? That's what happens when we abide in him. Why can we ask anything? Because the anything we ask already resounds with God's heart. James tells us later that sometimes you pray and you don't get what you're asking for because your motives are all screwed up and you're really just praying for your own comfort and your own ease. That isn't the point at all. And you go, wait, you said I could pray and I could ask for whatever and you would do it. And Jesus says, yeah, when you ask in my name, you're asking in your name. You're asking for your own self. It's called selfish prayer. When we come and we're asking for his glory, the glory of the King, we can expect to receive great things. And sometimes, guys, I'll just tell you this, maybe even tonight, some of us, we might pray a prayer that doesn't line up with the heart of God. And I'll tell you this, he is good enough and big enough and faithful enough to be able to take that prayer and go, yeah, I can't answer it in the way you're asking me to because I know better. Would you want to pray to a God that does anything different than that? He knows exactly what we need, and he'll take even imperfect prayers. And we're hanging out with him, and he turns them, and he uses them for good. Whoa. So that's what we're going to do tonight. That's the immediate future of what we're getting ready for as a church family. Is it kind of nice to have a plan in mind? There's stuff in mind like, hey, we're going to get together on Fridays. We're going to be, ladies are starting to get together once a month. Guys are going to be getting together once a month. We're going to start scheduling, again, probably just like once a month, times where we come together just to worship and pray so that we can do this and just hear from God together. God, what are you saying to us as a people? What are you saying? And we're going to be about that. Okay, I'm starting to tangent just a little bit because I'm excited. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that this is really true, that you are building your church. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Doesn't say maybe.